If we take an aerial view of this week's Parsha, let's try to sum up the Parsha in one word. Probably the best summary would be, it's Parsha of Emunah. Some of our most central and essential Parshas in Emunah are to be found in this week's Parsha. For example, Matan Torah, which Rabbeinu recounts the story of Matan Torah to Klal Yisrael, telling them that they store it. We have Aseres HaDibros, which incorporates the whole Torah. We have Kriya Shema, Parsha of Shema, which includes Avas Hashem, Mitzvah Tefillin, Limud HaTorah, Mezuzos. We have the Inyan of Schava Oynosh, Parsha, the Mitzvah of the Avera of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, the Torah is exact. So, the package as a whole, this week's Parsha really just screams out Emunah and how you say this in Emunah and where Emunah comes from. I'd like to focus on three perplexing psukim, one after another, right after the Aseres HaDibros. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the story of Matan Torah, and he tells Klal Yisrael in Perkei and Pasuk Yotes, Es advorim ha'ele diba Hashem al kol kahalcham. These words, the Rebbeinu Hashem spoke to you, the whole nation, Ha, on the mountain, mitoicha eish, ha'onon, v'ha'arofa. It was from within the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness. That's in Pasuk Yotes. In Pasuk Yotchaf, Moshe Rabbeinu carries on. V'yi kishomachem es ha'kol mitoich ha'choshech. You heard the voice from the darkness. V'ha boi v'esh, and the mountain was flaming with fire. Now let's move to Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'toim rehein, and you told me, you spoke to me, Her onu Hashem elekeinu es kevoide ves godloi. You saw the gross guy from the Rebbeinu Shalom. And we heard his voice from the fire. So Moshe Rabbeinu describes the event. He speaks about the Eish, the Onan, and the Arofa. He then tells Klal Yisrael that they heard the voice of Mitoich HaChoshech, from the darkness. But when he describes how Klal Yisrael went and spoke to him, he says that Klal Yisrael said to him that they heard the voice Mitoich HaEish. So what's going on? It was Eish, Onan, Choshech, Arafel. One pasuk after another, the coil seems to emanate from the fire, or the coil seems to emanate from the Choshech. What's going on there? They say, why do Jews always answer a question with a question? Or why not? Let's try and ask another question. Let's try to put down another question. We can see from here maybe an idea of where to take this from. What was the Inyan of the Anna, the Arafel, the Choshech? It was an age. The Shechina came down on the Ha. He spoke to Klal Yisrael. What was the idea of the Choshech? Shem Shapinkas has a beautiful maima, beautiful piece, where he goes to explain the Inyan of the Anna, the Choshech, and the Arafel. It says like this. There's three types of mechitzas. There's a mechitza, a partition, in order to contain something. For example, a prison. We don't want the prisoners out on the street, so we put a big security fence to keep the prisoners in. The school, the children, in order that they shouldn't run out on the street, there's a gate to keep the children in. That's another type of mechitza. A mechitza to keep people out. The person has a business, doesn't want people coming in, so he gates it, padlocks it at night. A bank has a big security fence. Any robbers coming in. So there's a mechitza to contain and a mechitza to keep people out. Now really there's a third type of mechitza, and when we think into it, all mechitzas really, the purpose is the same. There's another mechitza which is not to separate, it's not to disconnect, but rather to connect. Take for example the teller in the bank. The teller in the bank has a glass window there. Why is there a glass window? Because the teller doesn't want to be there with all that money and also speak to you at the same time. It'll be a security risk. In order that the teller can be in the bank at the same time as the person who wants to receive the money, there has to be some sort of partition. So the partition is rather than disconnecting the teller from the person who's come to get the money, it's allowing them to connect. Take another example. A mechitza and ezus noshim. The women want to come to shul. The problem in snis, come down with the women. The women want to come to shul. So we pull up a mechitza. The mechitza is not to contain the, it's not to keep the women out, and it's not to contain the children. The mechitza is in order to allow the women to come to daven. So the mechitza, instead of it being a partition to disconnect, it's rather a partition in order to connect, to allow. And really every mechitza is like that. Even mechitza is to keep people in, it's really because there's a danger outside. So we want in order the school building can be right next to the street so they can fetch the kids after school, there has to be a partition. So even though the partition is in order to contain the children, its real purpose is to allow a school building to be next to the street. B'cheina, b'cheina. The purpose really of every mechitza is to allow two items, or two people, or two things to be next to each other without a problem. This was the inyan of the Choshech on Marofa. The Rebbeinu Shalom, who's Rabna Asoga, Les Machshavet, V'tisa Beikar, can't even begin to speak. When the Shekhinah came down on the mountain, how could it be that the mountain didn't just blow up in smoke, didn't go up in fire? There had to have been a mechitza. But this mechitza wasn't a mechitza to make a rechuk, but rather it was a mechitza to make a kiruv. In order that there could be a skyros on the Rebbeinu Shalom with Klal Yisrael, without Klal Yisrael being electrocuted from Kedusha, there had to be a barrier, there had to be a mechitza. This mechitza was in order to create a closeness, it was to allow a kiruv between the Rebbeinu Shalom and Klal Yisrael. He's married there very beautifully about the mitzvah of tefillin, which is also in this week's parasha. The mitzvah of tefillin, we know the halacha is they have to be black, they have to be made from oil. If a person were to tie the parashas of tefillin to him, the kedusha would be so great, he wouldn't be able to contain it. Rather, he wraps up those parashas in black boxes, black is also in of choshech, in oil skin, which is a machzah, it's a cover. And with that, he's able to connect with the kedushas of tefillin a little bit like an adapter. Sometimes you have too much electricity, so we use an adapter. You go abroad, use an adapter, because if the too much electricity will ruin your electric item. That was the inyan on the mechitza, the choshech on the marav. Now, there's a very big difference between the view of the manager in the bank and the view of the teller, the person coming to receive the money. Or the view of the shamash, the gabin, the shul, setting up the mechitza, and the view of the ladies and the men who are coming to daven. The manager in the bank, when he wants to speak to the teller and tell her where to stand, will say, we need to put you behind the barrier. This barrier is to keep you safe. His focus is on the disconnection between the teller and the person coming to receive the money. The gab in the shul is making sure the women don't spill into the men's side, puts up the mechitza. But the women who are coming to shul, and the person coming to receive the money, that mechitza, he doesn't see the mechitza. It doesn't take notice by him, because he's trying to connect. The woman who's coming to shul, she'd go and say, oh, I was standing behind the mechitza. She'll say, I came to shul, but she was behind the mechitza. That's true, but it depends on the viewpoint of who's speaking. So we can see that you can have the same mechitza, and depending on who's setting it up and who's speaking about it, is what view they'll have on this mechitza. And this is what was going on in the Pesukim. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Klal Yisrael and he said, first he described the event in full detail. He spoke about the Eish, the Choshech, the Onan, the Arafa. That's what happened. However, when he spoke about that the Rebbeinu Shem spoke to Klal Yisrael, from the Rebbeinu Shem's perspective, there was a mechitza, there was a machzah, there was a cover. There had to have been, otherwise Klal Yisrael would have been, so to speak, electrocuted from Kedusha. They wouldn't be able to contain that amount, that power of Kedusha. There had to have been a mechitza. But from Klal Yisrael's point of view, they were coming to be Neskarim, they were coming close, the mechitza didn't feature. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about the Rebbeinu Shem's voice, he spoke about it came with Teicha Choshech. Because from his viewpoint, that was a mechitza. But Klal Yisrael, when they came to Neskarim, to the Rebbeinu Shem, the mechitza didn't feature. They were so bound up with the Kedusha. But they said the coal came in Teicha Eish, the coal came from within the fire. They couldn't see the mechitza, or it didn't feature by them at all. And although, due to our lowly level, being a piece of Gashmias, Chomri, We need this rechok in order to have the kirva. It's to our greatest benefit. I spent quite a while this week trying to look up. I saw once a beautiful moshon. It's from the Talmid of Hashem Tov. It's either from the Maggid or the Precious Levi. I couldn't find it again. He says a story like this. He says there was a poret, and in those days, the disparity between the rich and the poor was very great. And the rich used to live it up, and they would invite all their friends to parties. Each one would go to each other. Each one, of course, would try to outdo each other, try to make something special. There was a poret he made, he threw a banquet, and invited all his cronies and all his friends to come. And in the middle, he brought out a parrot. Now, in Poland, in those days, a parrot was a cavity, so it wasn't like you could go to a zoo and find all different types of animals. Parrot. He brought out the parrot to the middle of the ballroom, and he said, "Look, I've got this speaking bird." Psh, all his friends come close. And he says, "Hello," and the parrot squawks, "Hello." And he says, "Goodbye," and the parrot squawks. Anyway, one of his friends was getting a bit hot under the collar. So much attention for this fellow. He says, "Ah, what's the big lick? What's the big shtick? I also speak." Everyone's watching. "Mike, I also speak." Said one of the Talmidei of Hashem, he said, "This is exactly what it is. We bring from many malachim. Or the malach to keep the word of Hashem when he sees everything so clearly. Grace a glick. Or when we do the rotz and Hashem, for us it's abnormal. For us it's not the norm. We're like the parrot. It's not normal for him to speak. It's not normal for us to want to do the rotz and Hashem. When we are miskaber, that creates a rizgah nachasurah for the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what's really something interesting. That's something worth looking at. That's an excitement by the Rebbeinu Shalom. Everyone has different parts of tefillah which they connect to at different times. But while one part in Baruch Dovid was something which always struck me. We say like this: Atu Hashem levadecha, you are Hashem alone. Atu asisa shemayim, shmei Hashemayim, you made the heavens and the higher heavens. V'chol tzvam, and all the heavenly hosts. Ha'aretz, the ground, v'chol asher b'hem. Sorry, v'chol asher alam, all that's upon it. Everything upon land. Thousands and thousands of species, of animals, buildings, mountains, you name it. Hayamim v'chol asher b'hem, all the oceans and everything inside it. And there's more species underwater than there are on land. Just imagine how many species there are under the water. And everything the Rebbeinu Shalom made. Not only that, but Atam Achayas Kulam, you sustain and give life to everything. And all the heavenly hosts, Malachim, Tzrofim, the Chayas, Vepania, Kodesh, they praise you. But with all that, Ato Hu Hashem Alekim, you are Hashem, our God, Asher Becharta Be'Avram, you chose Avram. You chose the human being. If we can call Avram a human being, we chose Avram Avinu. But it says him or cast him, and you changed the Metzias of the Teva of the world for him, for that human. You had everything. You created everything. The Malachim, Sufim, Chayes, Vefani, HaKodesh are bound down to you. Not interesting. There's a man down there. His name is Avram. That's very exciting. The Samta Shmei Avram, and it was so interesting for you that you changed a letter in his name. That's how important every detail of this human world. The Metzor says, the Vav Enem on the Fonecha. The Bein Hashem has Melochim, Sroffim, Bechayetz, Vayipani, HaKodesh. He has a Riz Gabriya. What's exciting is us. Us humans who struggle day to day. We have a Yetzihara. We have our own personal Nisrenas. But that's really the excitement. The Nachas Ruach for the Bein Hashem, and he's miskabed just one little bit. We say in davening in the morning, "Ma betza bedomi berit yoshachas." Ma betza bedomi, what will you gain from my blood? Berit yoshachas, when I go to the grave, hayud ha'afa, will the earth know you? Will he give praise to you? Hayagad amitecha, will it say over your truths? Will it say over the praises of Hashem? Will it recognize that you are the creator of the world? That's the simple meaning. Mechsidim am katash, this is a beautiful title like this. Ma betza bedomi, beritzi oshochas, hayot ha'ofa, will the earth recognize you, not the earth after a person's nifta, but hayot ha'ofa, will this clump of earth recognize you? Would you have that nachas ruach ribono shel olam from a clump of earth, from something made from earth with the yetzer hara, who has desires which are not like what you want? Well, you still have that. Hayotcha offer, hayagid amitecha. Will you have a human being who will be able to acknowledge your existence? Sometimes we feel we have yetzer hara, we feel very bad, we feel terrible. We feel like, oh, I'm so terrible, I'm such a terrible person. But really, that's what makes us special. Our yetzer hara and our desires to do not the rotzon Hashem is not making us a bad person, taket, it's making us a very good person. Because that's where the excitement is for the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the need for the richuk, in order to have the kirva, due to our lowly state, is really our ability to have the gresh, the kirva. The Baal HaTanya teaches the Mishnah, Yofesh Ha'achas, B'tshuva Ma'asim Tovim Kol Cha'elem Avar. What does this mean, Yofesh Ha'achas, B'tshuva Kol Cha'elem Avar, B'tshuva Ma'asim Tovim Kol Cha'elem Avar? He says like this, Rashi explains it means that because in Olam Haba a person won't be able to anymore achieve anything. It says that this, Yofesh Ha'achas, B'tshuva Ma'asim Tovim. Whilst we're still in this guf, we're able to experience a greater connection with the Rebbeinu Shem due to our Rechuk. The Emes, the Rebbeinu Shem is so great that even in the Olam Emes, we can't really connect entirely. We can enjoy the connection, something which we can't do here. But to connect properly, that we can't do. But due to our lowly state, and the fact that the Rebbeinu Shem was Metzamtzem in the Torah and brought it down to our level, and we learn Shesh Nogach HaSapara, and we learn Lachas of how to sell a house, to buy a house, how to be Osip Ben Adam Lechaveroi, and all our mitzvahs need, our guf, because the Rebbeinu Shem was Metzamtzem it and brought it down to our level, we can connect to the Rebbeinu Shem in a much higher way than in Olam Haba. We don't have the same enjoyment because the piece of Gashmi is a clump of earth. But in connection, we're really we have a much greater connection due to our lowly state. Which brings us to another pasuk, another two pasukim in this parasha. Two beautiful pasukim which stand out in the parasha. Kimi goi godol ha-sheloi edekim karevim elav. Where Shabbeinu was speaking to Klal Yisrael to appreciate that gadlus. Which other nation can say that the Rebbeinu Shem is close to them, or wants them, whenever they call out to him? And the pasuk towards the end of the parasha. It's not due to the great numbers of our nation. Faket, we are persecuted, and we're a very small number. It wasn't due to the great numbers, but rather, Tamid of Hashem say a moshon, beautiful moshon. What is it we're speaking about? This Indian that we attack so far from the Rebbeinu Shem, and the Rebbeinu Shem attack is so big. So what's he loving us? So we have a neshama. Okay, but a person is basic in Gashmi as well. Very, very beautiful moshon. So we go somewhere and we see a child. Colouring, scribbling. Most of us don't even take notice. We're building a little tower from Michael Towers, higher and higher. We walk past. Doesn't take notice. Doesn't hold any interest. We come home and we see the children of the Eidiklach. We're building a little tower, one piece after another. We stop, we look. He comes to show us his paper of scribbles. Tells you it's a bus. He's drawn a house. It's a red line here, green lines there. You can even start to imagine that maybe you see the house. You're interested. Every single line is interesting. What is it? A minute ago, you walk past the child, meaningless. You come home, and suddenly, you're electrified. You're excited. Because it's like your child. It's very interesting. Even small things, things which for an adult would seem seamless, would seem uninteresting, would seem rather stupid. But suddenly, when it's your child, and they're doing something, it can be the most insignificant thing, the smallest act. It takes on a whole new meaning. When there's Abba, everything takes on a new meaning. A Yid could be busy just having a drink. He makes a bracha and has a drink, and the Rebbeinu Shem is excited to him. And she says, I'm so happy for my child, you're enjoying that drink. I'm just having a drink. Yes, but you're my child. You're Bonim Atem Hashem Lekeichem. You're my child. I'm interested in the smallest thing. The Samtashmai Abram, Benjamin was busy even in that little letter of his name, and he changed his name for him. Recently, I had to wait for someone. I normally when you wait for people, you either end up hearing a ghost story or seeing a ghost story or something. There was a book on the table. I picked up the book, and there was the most beautiful story there. There was a Chiloni doctor in Eretz Yisrael. I think her name was Osnat, if I'm not mistaken. And she worked in a religious area. She would come in every work, and she was a proud secularist. She was proud of her stance on Yiddishkeit. And she wasn't from, to say the least. But everyone coexisted nicely together. Religion wasn't spoken about. And it went on. One day, Osnat turned up into work. She turned up in the office, the surgery, and she was wearing a tichel. Everyone was very perplexed, curious. No one had the courage to ask her straight out, you know. Mashal Yemi Yemaim, what happened over here? So they let it be. And bit by bit, she started to dress more refined, speaking more refined, speaking nicer, and started speaking about different mitzvahs. One day, they were sitting around in the office, and it was quieter day than usual, and they were discussing their Shabbos plans. So Osnat said she's going to her daughter for Shabbos. So yeah, was it perked up and got a daughter that keeps Shabbos? She says, yes. I'll tell you the truth. My daughter is really why I changed. And I'm sure that you're probably very curious. You've been wanting to ask her a long time. But my daughter is the reason that I changed. My daughter, she didn't dress very well. She didn't speak very nicely. And she was always, always angry. Everything bothered her. And then one day she came in. She was dressed a bit nicer. And she started speaking nicer. And I could see she felt good with herself. She was happy. And this went on for a few days and a few weeks. And slowly but surely she started davening. And she said, I'm going to a study session. And I could see that the Yiddishkeit that she was getting drawn to was really changing her. I could see that she'd gone from being an angry person, someone who spoke vulgar, openly spoke lowly, and she'd become a proper mensch. So I went out to find out, and this is the story, this is how I changed. But you should know that I was never surprised, I always knew that I would have a daughter that would come from an obby moments. So I tell you, many years ago, when I first started out as a doctor, there was a little old lady that used to come every week to the doctor, and I was the nurse. I would see her in, I would measure, take blood pressure, to check on her tablets, and then she would go to see the doctor. And whenever she was waiting, she always had a little sitter in her hand, and she'd be davening. And I could see that she was really sincere. I was very taken by it. One day, I went over to her and said, you know, I'm a Chiloni, and quite proud of it. But I see that you're really davening. I see you're really speaking to someone. Maybe if you could photocopy one page from your sitter and give me that page, and I'll say that page. The lady was so excited, I could see Moshe's face change. I said, no, don't worry, I'm not doing more than one page, don't worry. As much as I tried to dampen her spirits, she ran with me to the photocopier. She flipped through the pages, she put the sitter upside down, photocopied the page. And since then, I say this page every single day. I didn't really know what it meant. But now that I'm davening, I now know its meaning. The page that she photocopied was Baharib Na Hashem Elekeinu Estibis Veroska Befino Befiez Amcha Beis Yisrael V'niya Anachnu V'tzetzoeinu V'tzetzoe Amcha Beis Yisrael, that we and our children shall be Klonu Yodei Shemecha, to know the name of Hashem V'lem Dezer Esecha Lishma, and to learn Torah Lishma. This was the tefillah that she'd been davening day in and day out. So there was no wonder I knew, there was no wonder that my child became from, and that led to me. This was a lady, a Chiloni lady, she kept nothing. Whenever we call out to the Bein Shalom, a person could be on any Madriga, but if he calls out sincerely, the Bein Shalom listens. Because the Bein Shalom is interested in the most insignificant of our acts. we've been still in the shadow of Tisha B'Av, and with one small thought. We had 3 weeks building up to Tisha B'Av, only so much to get into the Pronius and the Tzavka of Tzarim Shel Kal Yisrael and the Churban Habayis. But once we've experienced it, we need 7 weeks in order to get over it. We have Shivat and Nechemta. Another beautiful thought, which also ties into what we've been speaking about. We know that halacha is that if someone mixes the pot on Shabbos and the food is not yet properly cooked, he's chayav. It's called megas, and halacha is called megas, stirring the pot. Why is he chayav? Food's anyways cooking, it's anyways on the stove, because it's going to cook quicker. If he turns up the stove, turns up the fire, even a tweetsy bit, besides for the issa, the malacha, being ma'avir, making a fire, it's also chayav for making it cook quicker. That means the food could have been ready at 3 o'clock, and now, because he stirred it, or because he turned up the fire, the food will be ready at 2:59 and 58 seconds. He'll have to bring a korban chatos. It was makarev b'shulei. He made the bishul go quicker, for 2 seconds. Makarev b'shulei, and if he did it by mezid, chayav skina. Mid the teva meruba, alachas kama v'kama, someone who's makarev the geula, even 1 second, if 1 second a person could be chayav bishul on Shabbos, be makarev b'shulei, mid the teva meruba, kentzach b'shvoshtan in avila, what it means to makarev the geula, even 1 second. We don't always realize what our actions can achieve. Think, well, just 1 second. But 1 second, kirev ha-geula, your attack will be zeicha to see Beis HaMikdash speedily soon in our days.
Amen.